So tonight we will continue our fellowship in the book of Isaiah. We will be in chapter 5, and we need to read some verses together. Isaiah chapter 5. Thank you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5. Let's read the first two verses together. Amen. Is using this song to really speak to his people. And this is a very meaningful song. And it's good for us to really get into it. It shows us that the church today is our beloved's vineyard. And this is something that the Lord has always had in his heart, to have a fruitful vineyard, to be his proper expression. Amen. This is very much in God's heart from the very beginning. And that is why he put Adam in the Garden of Eden. And he wants man to be fruitful, to partake of this wonderful tree of life. And we also see this at the end in Revelation, in the New Jerusalem. There is also the tree of life and the river of life. And so the Bible is very consistent. God has never changed in his plan. He always desires to gain a proper vineyard for his glory. And so the first point tonight is that this is an aspect of life and fruit bearing. Amen. Amen. So, when we say life, what comes to your mind? Life means growth, right? Life means maturity. And once this life grows and matures, it should bear much fruit for the Father's glory. And when our God is satisfied, then we are satisfied. I used to have the concept that life just means enjoyment. Life means it's automatic. I don't have to do anything. I just sit there and relax, and life will do it. After 40 years being a Christian, I know what the Bible is saying. And this, we need to be very clear. Amen. It's really important to know how the Lord feels. If you ask any farmer, is it easy to be a farmer? Every one of them will tell you no. That's why today, there's not too many farmers here. If you're a farmer, raise your hand. It's hard work, right? Yeah, maybe you used to do a little bit.
My dad is a farmer.
Yeah, okay. You want to do what your father does?
Not quite.
That's why you're here. And you're not majoring in farming? It's hard work. You have to get up really early. Right? And it's hard labor, manual labor, and you go to bed late. And sometimes there is no rain or too much rain, and it really affects your crop. So it's not easy. Cultivating, it needs nourishing, it needs caring, it needs nurturing, cherishing, exhorting, admonishing, perfecting, and laboring. And many more adjectives. I can go on and on. It's not an easy work, yeah. But the Lord today has a vineyard. And he worked really hard on his vineyard. And we all need to learn to be diligent farmers, to really labor together with the Lord. Amen. You know, those parents who have small children, you know how hard it is to raise a baby. It's 24 hours, 7 days a week of nonstop labor. Right? Our sister shared today, 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to wake up and care, right? And then 3 o'clock. And 4 o'clock, every hour you wake up. Of course, everyone says, your baby is adorable. And yes, they are very adorable, right? No doubt about it. Yeah. But, you know, we can say, your baby is adorable, and then we get to go home. But the baby stays with you, right? And then it's a lot of laboring that is necessary for a child to be raised. Yeah. So this is the Lord's hard work that he is laboring on us as the church. You know, I testified by my own experience when I finally got my doctor's degree. My parents came to my graduation, and they, of course, were very happy and joyful. And to see their smile and how proud they are is really priceless. And so because they finally saw the fruit of their labor, but it only took them 26 years. It's a long time. Yeah. So today, God has invested his very best in his vineyard. And we can see this here in Isaiah chapter 5. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. Yes, this hill is very fruitful, very promising, has good potential. And he dug it up, and he cleared out its stones, and he planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in its midst, and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. Right? If you plant something in a choicest hill, and you spend all the time to cultivate it, to labor it, to nurture it, surely you expect it to bring forth good grapes. Right? Was God's expectation too high? No. It's a very reasonable expectation. Right? But, unfortunately, it says it brought forth wild grapes. Wild grapes are not just wild, they're bad. In fact, they're poisonous, right? And so, what happened? What happened? You know, and the Lord is speaking this to his own people. We're not talking about the worldly people. Right? They're fallen, we know that. But the Lord is speaking to his people. And verse 4 goes on to say, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? The Lord is here reasoning with his people. Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? We all need to consider this matter. This is a very important question that the Lord is asking his people. God led his people out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea for them. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years, and he fed them with manna from heaven. And then finally, he brought them into the good land, and he even drove out the giants for them. So he surely expected good fruits to be produced from this land of Canaan, right? A land that is flowing with milk and honey. God desires a very fruitful vineyard that he can be glorified. Yeah, this is really important for us to see. God desires a proper way of worship to satisfy him, to glorify him. He expected his people to labor on the good land, as it was shared today, during the appointed time of the feast. Three times, spring, summer, and fall, he expected that his people would come to the appointed place of worship and bring the top portion of the offerings for his enjoyment and his satisfaction. The Lord laid out his plan very clearly. And he surely desires and deserves to be worshipped in the way that he prescribed. Right? And if we do this, John 15a says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amen. So we have to all admit that our God is very reasonable, and he fully expects a return on his investment. Right? Is it too much for God to expect this? No. Is our God so unreasonable? No. He is a very reasonable God. But unfortunately, the vineyard did not produce good fruits. Why? As we have seen from the first meeting, because we are sick. Yes. There is something wrong within us. And we need to see this. We have a diseased heart. If you would open me up and look inside, you would see that my heart is diseased. It's sick. It's not right. And this is clearly stated, Isaiah 1:5. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Yes. This is a heart that is no longer pumping. It's fainting. It's unable to satisfy the Lord's purpose. And it was also brought out clearly in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurably sick, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't know it. You don't know it. No one knows it. But it's incurably sick. This is really our condition. And going over this topic, I was very much touched by two persons in the Old Testament. One is David, and the other is Solomon. Both of them were kings of Israel. And David, as we know, he was not a perfect man, but he had a heart for the Lord. And he sinned against the Lord. And I appreciated that he had a very thorough repentance before the Lord. And in his repentance, this is one of the things that he prayed Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Amen.
He could have asked for anything else, but he asked for a clean heart because he realized his heart was unclean. And he needed the Lord to cleanse him, to give him a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This is in Psalm 51, verse 10. And then there is, in contrast, Solomon. And Solomon has the wisdom to build God's temple. But unfortunately, at the end of Solomon's life, he fell. And I'll read to you this verse from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "So, for it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." So here is very clear. One's heart was not loyal to the Lord. The other one, the heart was really faithful, desiring what God wants. Today, God does not look at the outward appearance of a man, how strong we are, how capable we are, how eloquent we are. The Lord sees our heart. He has an x-ray vision, and we need to come before the Lord. Lord, please shine on me. You know my heart better than me. I want to have a clean heart. This is really important because our heart is the ground for the Lord's vineyard to be fruitful. And we see this in Matthew chapter 13. Right? In Matthew chapter 13, it talks about the condition of our heart. And it lists there several categories. In verse 19, it says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." The first condition is, it's just on the wayside. Right? It's not deeply planted. It was not bearing roots and becoming fruitful. And so it was so easy for the enemy to come and snatch the word away. We need to check before the Lord, are we like this? Right? It's nice to have a conference, hear some good messages, but will it change us? Or after a couple weeks, we forgot anything we've heard. We need to pray. Lord could be implanted.
Amen.
His word is the implanted word. It needs to dig deep in us, and then it needs to bear fruit.
Amen.
In verse 20 of Matthew 13, it talks about the second condition, which is, "But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Immediately receives it with joy. That's not bad. "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So the second condition is, the heart is stony, full of rocks. It can only take in a little, but it cannot endure the tests of pressure and time. Again, we need to ask the Lord, "Lord, am I like this?" I remember when I was younger, I would get up in a meeting and say, "I am 1,000% for you. I consecrate myself to you." Of course, I really meant it. But then there was some pressure that came. Oh, son, I forgot. Start to love the world more than loving the Lord. It's a, thank you. It's a real test of the condition of our heart. And then in verse 22 of Matthew 13, it says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Now that I am older, I think this is really a trap, right? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now that I'm older, I have a little bit more cash in my pocket, as I said today, right? Sometimes these riches are very deceitful. Riches are never truthful. They're always deceitful. Because you look at it, you want it, and you want more of it. And next thing you know, you are misled. It's really important that we take care of the condition of our heart at every stage of our life. Because this is the thorns. They're not like the rocks so big, but they're there. They're going to choke up the soil, and so that the root cannot bear good fruit and it becomes unfruitful. Of course, the last one in verse 23 is the one that we all want. "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it." This is really important. To understand it doesn't just mean, okay, I got it. To understand it means we do it. We apply it. And it's fruitful in our lives. And it's manifested. Even everyone can see it. Wow, the Lord's word is really working in this one. We need to pray for this. Right? We all need to desire for the Lord to gain a fruitful vineyard. Amen. And the ground in our heart is really, really important. Yeah, the ground needs to be healthy, needs to be fertile. No more wayside, no more stones, no more thorns. But we need to pray for the Lord to give us a fruit-bearing heart, right? Fruit-bearing ground. So this is the first condition as to why we produce wild grapes. The second one is watchtower. Often we miss this. I just care about the ground. I didn't realize the importance of the watchtower. Why is there a watchtower in the Lord's vineyard? That's right. There are enemies that will come, right? And if we are not watchful, and if we are too tolerant, we will allow wolves and foxes to come in. And this is really important, especially for those of us who are bearing some responsibility in the church. We need to learn to be brothers who are on the watchtower. To be watchmen, that's right. On the walls. To see, oh, the enemy is coming, we need to sound out the warning. Yeah, the Lord's enemy has many different forms. He causes our heart to be terrible, and then he also attacks us from outside. And we need to pray for the Lord to really save us. Yes. In this matter regarding the watchtower, there are a couple verses I want to read to you quickly. One is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The Lord warned about this in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets. This is already spoken 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, how many false prophets have we seen? Yeah, so many. The Lord's word came true. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Very nice, very gentle, very kind. But they have a motive. Right? Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Yes, this is very important that we must have a watchtower in the church life. And the Lord needs some watchmen on the walls. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, it says, "For I know this, that after my departure," this is Paul speaking, "savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Yes, savage wolves. They only care for themselves. They will tear you apart. This is really serious. Recently, I was watching a animal documentary, a little smaller, a group of bison, and they have these little, smaller baby bison. I don't know what they're called, but baby bison. And these wolves, who are very hungry, will try to come in and get to the baby bison. But the mother bison, or father bison, they're big. So they will surround the baby bison. And they have really strong legs, and they can do some serious damage to the wolves. But the wolves are relentless. They will just try to sneak in. And once in a while, a baby bison will just like drift out. And that's when they go and attack. It's a very picturesque thing. When I saw this, I realized, oh my goodness. This is how the enemy works. One of us, the younger one, the little one, the innocent one, will start to drift out. And next thing you know, they pounce on it. Savage wolves, savage, merciless. This is why the vineyard became poisonous and wild. Yeah, may we be the watchmen on the tower to prevent such an attack from the enemy. And then thirdly, there's this matter of the wine press. The wine press is for the processing of the grapes. You know, today the Lord will not accept just any grape. Right? That's why he examines. Some of the grapes are good. Others are wild and even poisonous. He needs to get rid of all these. Right? Because otherwise they will contaminate the batch and the wine will be ruined. So the Lord only desires the good grapes. You notice the word wine press has the word press. Right? Press doesn't sound so comfortable, but it's necessary. It's life often needs pressure, right? Hardships, difficulties, and even some suffering is necessary for the church life. The church life is not just always, I'm so happy and it's a lovely place. Yeah. Sometimes it is. But often there's a lot of pressure and difficulties. We speak from our experience. Right? This is not a doctrine. This is really our experience over these last 30, 40 years. So much difficulties, sufferings, pressure. Yeah, so difficult for the Lord to build up a proper church life. Yet, it's so worth it when the Lord does get it. This is why we cannot give up, right? No matter what the enemy is trying to do, the Lord will gain what he's after.
Amen.
And we need to cooperate with him.
Amen.
Yeah. This is really important for us to learn to stay in the Lord's training and perfecting. And don't give up so easily just because of some hardships that comes your way. Oh, the Lord doesn't love me anymore. That's not true, right? Remember, Hebrews 12, right? As many as I love, I spoil you. No. I chasten, right? I discipline to make you better. Yes. I'm glad when I was younger, my parents did not spoil me. It's so easy to spoil children because it's just easier way to do, you know. You just give them something, they will leave you alone. But if all the parents do that, we will just have a bunch of rotten, spoiled children. Always looking for a handout. We cannot do that. The Lord did not do that to us. And we thank him for that. We need to love him for that, right? When I was younger, my parents were so hard on me. When I got older, I thanked them. Thank you.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Yeah.
I really thanked them. They forced me to go to Chinese school. I hated Chinese school. I'm in America. We speak English here. The first day I started working in my office in Roland Heights, I realized 80-90% of my customers, patients, are Chinese. I call my dad, thank you, dad. Thank you so much. At least I can speak some Chinese. It's not perfect, but at least I can get by. Very thankful. Yeah. But while we were going through it, it's not pleasant. It's not easy, but it's really necessary. And so, the last point here is, because this vineyard is unfruitful, God will destroy this vineyard. And he actually did, right? And we see this in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. God gave up on them. They were all taken captivity to Babylon. Everything was wiped out. The situation didn't get any better, right? And eventually, the Lord has to bring in Prince Titus to wipe out Jerusalem. Again, his vineyard was destroyed. Yeah. Don't think the Lord would not do that today. This is a very serious warning for all of us. Don't think that just because you're the church, you will always be okay. You will forever be the church. This is not a lifetime appointment. This is a very conditional thing. Right? We see this in Revelations 2 and 3. Right? It is very possible to lose the lampstand. The Lord will remove it. As I was shared last night, he will even vomit you out of his mouth. That doesn't sound very pleasant. Yeah. But that's what the Lord's warning is if we are not well pleasing to him. Yeah. So whatever is man-made today, I guarantee it will be destroyed. Even in my short time of history. I have already seen this happen. It's a really, really a serious warning. Yeah. From the Tower of Babel in Genesis to the Great Babylon in the Book of Revelation, you see this. God destroys anything that is made by man. God only desires that which is not made by man's hand. This is a lesson that we are all still learning, and we have to learn. We cannot do things by ourselves in our own ways using our own methods to try to gain people and call it the church. That's just not the way of the word of the Bible says. It has to be heavenly. It has to be not of this creation. It must be something according to God's pattern.
Amen.
And this is very clear, and we need to learn this. The Lord said to us, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Fill in the Spirit. The Spirit, as it was shared, is this all-inclusive medicine, this anointing. It's able to heal us, and it's able to build up the church. This is really necessary for us today. And may the Lord help us. Just because you were the church yesterday doesn't mean that you're the church today. And just because you are the church today doesn't mean that you will be the church tomorrow. Because man's condition changes. We're not like the Lord, right? Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But man, no. Right? We are fallen. Yeah. No guarantee. Yeah. Don't think, oh, I'm in the church. Praise the Lord. I can relax now. No. The Bible never says that. Right? It says God will destroy. What? Yes. His vineyard? Yes, His vineyard. God will destroy it.
Amen.
He will dig it up and He will burn it. He will throw it away. You know, I run a business. And if my business is unprofitable year after year, I have to close shop. I don't have money to be burned. I don't have an unlimited bank account. And if my employees are not faithful and diligent, guess what? You're fired. Yes. Like someone says, you're fired. Yes. It's really true. Yes. It's really, this is really scriptural. Yeah, it's God's way. Yes, yeah. It's really amazing that the Lord, how serious He takes His business. And He really desires a profit on His investment. Right? Over these last 25, 28 years that I have had my business, I've had employees who were fired because they were lazy, who were fired because they stole from me, who were fired because they didn't show up at work with no explanation, repeatedly, and all of them have been warned ahead of time, and they still continue. At the end, there's no choice, right? The Lord sent Isaiah to warn His people. Did the warning work? Unfortunately not. So the Lord Himself had to come. Our heart is really so hard. So, if I do this with my business, don't you think the Lord will do the same? Right. And so, verse 5, back to Isaiah 5, says, "And now, please let me tell you what I will do with my unprofitable, bad, wild grape vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down." The Lord repeats this. You say, oh, that's the Old Testament. Okay. In John chapter 15, concerning the Lord as the vine, we are the branches. In verse 6, John 15, 6, He says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire." See, it's scriptural. You're fired. Cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is a serious warning. This, of course, does not mean that we as believers will lose our salvation. But we will have to suffer loss, right? As through fire. That's right. Again, fire. Yes. Fire is very useful with the Lord, right? It's judgment, as it was shared yesterday. The Lord has a wonderful heavenly standard. He expects nothing less. Right? He is righteous, he is holy, and he is glorious. The church today that he is building, he will settle for nothing less. And that's why in this song, he calls us the beloved. Right? He is our beloved. We are also his beloved. He is our bridegroom, and we are his bride. And the bride better match the bridegroom. The bridegroom can be here, and the bride is down here. That's not a couple. They have to match. And the Lord will gain this glorious church. He must gain this wonderful vineyard that he is desiring. This vineyard that is fruitful, so that the Father may be glorified.
Amen.
Yeah, the Lord is so wise in using this song to speak to his people. And the Lord is very reasonable. Several times he says, please, you tell me. The Lord is not unreasonable. He is not so difficult. Right? It's we are the difficult. We need to turn. We need to change. We need to be healed. We need to experience the Lord. I'm so happy this morning we saw how wonderful Christ is. Right? Firstly, he is wonderful. Okay, we need this. Right? With such a condition that we have, we need a miracle. Right? And the Lord is a miracle worker. Right? His name is Wonderful. As a brother puts it, he is full of wonders. And his most important job is to change us. Us sick, fallen people to be built together as his glorious bride. Wow! That's so wonderful! When we see one another in that day, we will say to ourselves, wow, the Lord, you are really wonderful. Right? His name speaks for himself. Yeah. We have such a wonderful Christ who is able to bring us to the goal. Amen.
Amen.
God, at this point, after exposing our real condition, it is really sad. And in a way, frustrating. And I don't think there is any better way to express how God felt than through a song. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because you can express what is in the heart best through a song.
That's right.
And so Isaiah is really a person who needs vineyard. And he's singing a song to his beloved. The best way to really care for God's purpose is to love him. When's the last time you called him beloved?
Not so long ago.
Right? Must be maybe a few years back, huh? Because our relationship with the Lord is not really that of a loving relationship like we talk about the bride and the bridegroom.
Yeah.
I remember many years ago we gave a conference in Germany concerning the Song of Songs. And how many times the word my beloved is mentioned. And I remember in those years, I don't know if Mu Chiang is there, right? Were you there when we were talking about the Song of Songs?
I was saved in death.
Oh, you just got saved there. But Yan Xuan, you were there, no?
Yes. I was saved.
Oh, you were saved.
In that conference.
Wow, okay. Well, then you should have remembered. You know, after that conference, we were crazily in love. And it was in that time that we practiced and exercised to call Jesus our beloved Jesus. Not just the Lord. You know, if you call him Lord, well, okay, he's the Lord. High up there, the Lord is the Lord.
Right.
And you're afraid of him. Oh, he's the Lord. So you better stay a little bit distance from the Lord. The Lord. But if you call him beloved, that is quite different. Then you would desire to be close to him. Right? So if your wife is your boss, Tao. If you call your wife boss or my boss, you know, sometimes in the Philippines they used to joke, oh, my wife is the boss. It's not good. It's really not good to call your wife your boss. But if your wife is your beloved, well, that is really something else. Really something else. You would like to come near. Right? If Solomon in the Song of Songs, right, and Shulamite there, that relationship is a loving relationship. Right? So how often she said, my beloved. And so she has always been thinking about her beloved.
Right.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just hold it.
People can't hear if you move.
Oh, you cannot hear it?
The live stream cannot hear it.
The live stream cannot hear it. It doesn't matter. As long as you hear it, that's fine. So if you really care for a vineyard as God cared for a vineyard, then the best way to care for a vineyard is with your heart. Loving heart. You know, I knew a brother in Rome, and he has a vineyard. And that vineyard is not just a job for him. It was his life. He loved his vineyard. And through him, I learned that it's a very tedious job to take care of the vineyard. You have to clean up everything. And then you have to prune it, cut it. And anything that will hinder that vine or the vine to bear fruit, you just have to cut it. Right. And it's hard work. One time when I was there, I was helping him to work on a vineyard. It is not an easy job. Really, you're right, to be a farmer. It's not easy. It was 2 Timothy chapter 2, right. Verse 6. Yeah. It says, a what kind of farmer?
A
relaxing farmer.
Yeah.
It's a hard-working farmer. Yeah. Everybody knows, if you are a lazy farmer, you'll go bankrupt. You won't have any harvest. You will not have any harvest. But you know, one thing is that a farmer, if he owns that farm, he loves it. Right? So Isaiah revealed to us in just that simple term, my beloved has a vineyard.
Amen.
No wonder the Lord Jesus mentioned it in chapter 15 of John. Right? I am the true vine, he said. And my Father is the vine dresser. The one taking care of that vineyard. We have the best vine dresser. And we have truly the best vine. I believe using those terms in John 15, it's nothing new. It must have been also from Isaiah. You know, let me tell you, Isaiah is the most quoted book in the New Testament. This is at least 80 verses, major important verses were quoted by the Lord and the apostles from the book of Isaiah. So much so, Isaiah is called by some the fifth gospel.
Yeah.
You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah. Really amazing. Because nobody talked about the Lord so clearly than Isaiah. It's really amazing. It is really, really wonderful. Right. And here it is recorded there. He sang a song to his beloved concerning the vineyard. And a brother speaks of life and fruitfulness. Life and fruitfulness. And life really takes a lot of care. If you don't care for life, I don't care what kind of a life, it's a plant life, it's animal life, you don't take care of your pet, it's not good. Right? You don't take care of your child, it's not good. So, and how much more? The spiritual life. You know, the higher the life is, the more care is necessary. Isn't it true? Right? So you have plant life, you have animal life, you have human life, which care is more needed? Human life is so complicated. And don't think it's easy for your parents to bring you up. Today you need this, tomorrow you need that, and you need this, you want this, you need new shoes, and who's going to give it to you? Your friends at school? No, your best friend? If you're hungry, your best friend, come invite me. No. So who do you appreciate more, your best friends or your parents? Oh, praise the Lord, I hope you remember that. You better remember that. Yeah, if you're sick, who's going to take care of you? Not your best friend? No. You see, whatever you need is provided by the loving parents. Right? So here we can really see spiritual life needs even more care. You're gravely mistaken. Like our brothers said, the former concept is life will do it. No, life itself, you leave it alone there, you do nothing with it, it's going to turn wild. If nobody cares for you, you're going to grow up a wild man. Scary wild man. Yeah. Spiritually, it's the same. It is the same. Don't think we don't need care. No. You need a lot of care. You need a lot of discipline. You need a lot of training and learning. You need to be formed. Otherwise, you'll grow wild. And look, many, many people today are wild. Even the millennials today are wild. You cannot trust them to do anything. Right? So, hey, we really need to wake up. No wonder Hebrews says, if the Father doesn't chasten you and discipline you, you're an illegitimate son. Meaning to say you're going to lose your inheritance. Because you acted like an illegitimate son. And don't say it's not going to happen like that. I have seen that in the last 50 years. Really. And whose fault is it? Is it because God didn't do it? No, God did his very best. Even he said, what could I do more to make it work? He died for you, right? Yes. He bore your sins on a cross. Yes. He took the judgment upon himself for you. He was crucified. He paid the ransom. Then he rose again, and he took you with him out of the grave. Right? He rose, and he ascended, and he took us with him to sit with him in the heavenlies. And he entered into you as the Spirit of life, to be your life. Now you tell me, what more can he do to you? Please, tell me, so that we can tell God, oh, you missed something. Father, you missed something. You didn't do enough. No excuse. That means that he did his part, but you do your part. If things went wrong, who is to blame? God? You're going to blame God? You're going to blame him? I don't think he made a mistake. Then who should be the one to be blamed? We. But we don't blame ourselves. We like to blame him. It must be your fault. I blame you, you blame him. And finally he blamed me. We'll be going around. You know, God is waiting for us to cooperate with him.
Amen.
To learn obedience.
Amen.
To really cooperate with him. But if you don't love him, if your relationship with the Father is not that of a beloved son, just like the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, their relationship is that of a loving relationship, right? The Father loves the Son.
Amen.
Is that good? Yes. This loving relationship is very crucial and very important. If only the Father loves the Son doesn't love the Father, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. And yeah, otherwise, then at the very end, you'll be running your own way and doing your own thing. And you think you know better than the Father. And you're going to replace him even at the very end. So this cooperation on our part is very important.
Amen.
And our God never forces anybody. Really. Yeah. So that's why today is a big mess, because he doesn't force you. Right? Have you experienced, if you disobeyed him, then all of a sudden the thunder comes and lightning to scare you. Okay, I'll do it. Wouldn't that be better? I doubt it. You know, sometimes we are so hardened. You know, if he just thunders, the more you are hardened.
Right.
Yeah. what's wrong with you? You would tell him, why do you give me a thunder? Right, you're going to blame him. It's just like in the book of Revelation. After so many plagues and so much judgment, they didn't turn. But they cursed God instead. You think you will not do that? How many times you blame God? How come I'm sick? Why did it happen to me? Where are you when this happened to me? Well, you blame him. Right? Right? Who never blames God? I think we all did. So, to cultivate this love for the Father is very important. That is why the ground is your heart. And the most important factor of our heart is what? Love.
Amen.
That's why the foremost commandment is to know your God with all the doctrines and theology. No. What is the foremost commandment?
Love
the Lord your God with a little bit of your heart. Huh? Come on, really? Do you do that? You see, we know the verse. Do you do that? With all your heart. With all your soul. It's even more specific now. And even more specific, with all of your mind. And finally, with all of your strength. Are you aiming and learning to do that? You know, if you ask people, do you love the Lord? If I ask you right now, do you love the Lord?
Yes.
How much?
More each day.
More each day, a very nice political diplomatic answer. And this is what the Lord said. This is the sum of the whole commandment. This is even the greatest commandment. Because if you love God in such a way, there's no problem keeping his commandments. There's no problem. We have problem because we don't love him as we ought to. That's why I love that song, What Shall I Give You, Master?
Amen.
He has given his all for you and for me.
Right.
And how much are you going to give him? Half of your heart? What did the song say? I'll give my all to you. How about that? Is it just a nice song? Yeah. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I will show you the best way, the most excellent way. And what is that? Love. No wonder in chapter 5, talking about the beloved's vineyard, it all of a sudden right there revealed to us it takes love to take care of this vineyard. Not doctrine, not knowledge, not work. Yes, it is hard work. Oh. You woke up at night because of the children, right? Is it hard work? If it is just hard work, you will just close your ears, turn back, cover yourself, and sleep further. But you can't take it if you see there's trouble with the children or crying or itching. And you have to get up because you love your children. Love is the best way. On his part, it is his love. That is why he gave his best for you. But how do we reciprocate? Also by love. Right. That's why in the Gospel of John, talking about life, it talks much about love. Having loved his disciples, he loved them to the end. He loves them to the end. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see this. It'll make things easier in the church life. Yeah. And a lot of things will just flow and work. If we lack this element, pretty soon there will be a lot of trouble in the church life. Yeah. So, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, knowledge builds up. Puffs up. I tell you, I've seen this. So much of this in the past 50 years. You know, when I was a young boy in a church in Manila, the church there from 1951 to 1961 is known as the place, if you are interested in deep truth of the scriptures, you must go to that place there. We have a lot of knowledge. But much knowledge without life and without love brings much trouble. And that was the result in 1961. Yeah. And the vineyard was nice in the beginning. God has to tear it down in 1961. And so it repeated itself. That song was sung again and again and again. I hear the same song again. It is not an oldie. It is always up to date. Yeah, it's... We're just singing every 10 years, we're singing the same song. And that is not good. And so we need to ask, what is the trouble? Why? Why? You cannot blame God, we can only blame ourselves. But then we have to learn from it. If we don't learn from it, it's going to happen again. But if we learn from it, then we'll reach the goal. Praise the Lord. Right. Then a vineyard will be like the Garden of Eden. So let's learn with our whole soul, with our whole mind, and with our whole strength. And may we learn in your daily life with the Lord, call him beloved Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord, you are my beloved. May this be our true experience. Amen.